Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. And we've got a big situation, as we all know, going on in Eastern Europe with Ukraine and Russia and NATO and everybody else. Jimmy has actually had the experience of his boots have been on the ground over there. He is very, very familiar with what's going on. Jimmy, give us some background as to what's happening, would you?
Yeah, so what we see right now today is a very large, massive Russian invasion that has gone beyond the two areas that they claimed would be independent states within Ukraine and under the Russian control. They have now attacked multiple targets around the entire country, military targets around the entire country of Ukraine. They have attacked the naval base in Odessa. They have attacked the air base outside Kiev. They have bombed targets in Kiev. They're hitting ammunition bunkers and military bases throughout the country. According to reporting and some video that's out there, the Ukrainian forces have claimed to shoot down 5 Russian aircraft, including fast movers and helicopters. I've actually seen a video of one of the helicopters hit a lake, and of course the parachuting members of some of the people on board, the crew. There are numerous civilian casualties. What's happening now is a massive refugee flow outside of the capital city of Kiev. And of course, Putin has said that if there is anything to stop him, the reactions will be something like no one's ever seen before. So very disturbing expansion of this conflict, and it clearly points to a broader strategic goal than what many had suspected early on.
Now, Jimmy, it's pretty clear to me what's going on in Putin's head right now. Putin does not want democracy from the West to come in from the West and change around what he has accomplished since the turn of the century in Russia. And I don't agree with that. I mean, I'm very definitely a freedom guy. There's no question about that. I don't agree with his motives, but I believe that's what his motives are. Protection from the West has been the motive of every single Russian leader, going all the way back to Catherine the Great, Jim, and that's what Putin's doing right now.
Well, there's this always been this mental challenge between those Peter the Great, Catherine the Great, that actually engaged with Western Europe and right, became more close to him and wanted to modernize, and then the kind of the Eastern view, which was fear and protection. What this really represents is a very powerful oligarchy, a kleptocracy, if you will, that's trying to protect their capital interests. And trying to protect, they claim to be protecting the Russian people. But, you know, it's pretty hard to say that Ukraine is actually, you know, historically Russian, and then we're going to save them by attacking them. And that's what the argument is right now. We're going to protect them by attacking them and killing innocent individuals and taking away what semblance of democracy, you know, growing or burgeoning democracy. And it is no clear democracy. There's no question. No former Soviet republic has a very strong democratic process, with the exception of the Baltic states, which completely cleansed themselves of former communists. And that's the problem in most of the former Soviet states. No one ever did a communist cleansing. And the challenge is, we talk about the deep state in the United States. Think about the corruption in each one of those republics. And if you didn't clean that out completely, then you are stuck with it. And that's what we're seeing with Putin. You're seeing a continuation of that mentality of power based on influence and how close you are to whoever the leader is, the party in the Soviet system, Putin today. And if you go against that, you are crushed. And that's the fear. And of course, that is what ideally Western ideology, Western philosophy takes away, and certainly the U.S. Constitution, is that, hey, no longer do powerful leaders determine the outcomes of your future, but individuals do. Ukraine was moving very rapidly towards NATO membership and towards a more Western ideology. Russia could not accept that. They also could not accept losing a potential route to the Crimea Peninsula in their Black Sea fleet. They had to have that.
Right.
So this objective is, you know, what they do is they send signals, and he's been signaling for months that this is going to happen. Nobody really paid attention. very ineffective leadership in both NATO and in the United States in order to counter that or even to understand what his objectives were. And that is what's more disturbing than anything else to me right now.
Jimmy, what's the percentage of people right now in the Ukraine that really don't care if they're under Russian rule? I believe it's about 80%.
No. Absolutely. That's inverted.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So what we're seeing from recent polling is that about 80% of Ukrainians actually would prefer to be closer to the West. And what are very, you know, difficult situation is that that's changed over the last few years, because up until the Crimea invasion, actually it was, you know, a little bit 60-40.
Yeah.
But now you're seeing a much bigger population that is oriented towards Western Europe and afraid. I mean, it was very clear with the elections of Zelensky. I mean, his policies were definitely more towards NATO and the West. Putin couldn't accept that. It's too dangerous for him, primarily for strategic reasons, but also for political and corruption reasons.
Well, let's look at the situation from a completely middle-of-the-road standpoint. Do you blame Putin, given the fact of what his role is? I'm not saying he's right. I'm not saying I agree with him. I'm not saying I don't care. But let's look at this thing in a very black and white situation. He's looking to cover his behind. He does not want to lose power. He does not want to show an example that one of the Russian satellites, and I'll use the word satellite here, that one of the Russian satellites can do whatever they want.
Well, do you think that a mafia kingpin is justified in, you know, killing his competitors?
Of course.
Or taking away? So because that's what this is. You're talking about a KGB leader that has controlled through very brutal means the foundations of leadership in Russia and the Kremlin, and has now got control of a very powerful military and a nuclear capability that is going to impose his will on quasi-democratically elected other countries. Ukraine is problematic. It was trying to work towards it. He couldn't accept it. So no, I don't think he's justified in any means by killing people in order to exert his power. In a very black and white sense, I think that's the worst thing in the world that we can accept.
It's the worst thing in the world that we can accept. There's no question about it. By the way, I could go in and explain what I was saying by using your mafia kingpin's example, but let's get away from that just for a second.
Sure.
The fact of the matter is the United States today does not have the ability to dictate any actions with any strength whatsoever towards another country like Russia. There's no question about that. You're going against Russia and you're also going against China. The United States does not have a position of strength as they have had in the past. I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to get the UK and France to back them up? What good is that going to do when you've got a country like Russia? A major, major nuclear power. What are you going to do?
Well, you have 29 NATO member states.
Got a minute left. Got one minute.
Yeah, 29 member states that in a coordinated effort with U.S. leadership could have very clearly said the single, this is not unacceptable. Now it's a little bit too late. And of course, it is because of the incompetence of the leadership right now that we've had. And tell me, what 81 million people that voted apparently a quasi, you know, free election voted for this guy are happy that they have done it now.
Right.
I mean, this is ridiculous. It's absolutely embarrassing, but not only embarrassing, it's globally dangerous and it's killing people right
now.
And
you can almost say the same thing about the United States. Jimmy, we got to take
what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
the U.S.
Jimmy, we got to take a real quick commercial break here. Ladies and gentlemen, conversation is getting very, very interesting. The situation is getting very, very interesting. Stick around. We're going to be right back.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Going to wrap up the first half of KER Politics again with Jim McKinney. Jim, let's talk a little bit about the ineffectiveness of NATO, first of all.
So right now, we see that NATO is, all the countries are unable to formulate a coordinated response with the Ukraine, with the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
Right, right.
And the problem is that some of these nations, especially the Baltic countries, have been under threat from Russia for a long time. And Ukrainian border countries like Slovakia, NATO members,
yeah,
they've been under intense pressure.
Right.
Poland has been under intense pressure. And, of course, the Russians have the advantage over Germany and much of Europe with energy supplies. And, you know, there's a lot of corruption out there that allowed that situation to happen. But basically, NATO is a bit hamstrung to make a coordinated effort. And, of course, the leader that needs to be in place to make such an effort is the United States, because we are the predominant power and the logistics and military support behind NATO. Of course, right now, we don't have Ronald Reagan or Donald Trump or even FDR that is building confidence in, you know, in a coordinated effort to protect against an invasion of a sovereign nation. Regardless of what you think of the corruption of Ukraine, these guys went across the border, are killing innocent people just to intimidate others.
Right. And they're being pretty effective, I have to add. I mean, the entire world right now basically is thinking about Russia and what Putin is doing. Putin realizes he's really got the upper hand right now.
He does from the first perspective, but I will tell you, their operation is going slower than they expected. There's some reporting on it, but I can tell you why I know it's going slower. So they've lost a number of aircraft, and they've taken a few specific locations, but they have not been able to mobilize forces in key areas with large numbers.
Right.
And then they're going to have a tough time logistically sustaining this effort if they can't take it very rapidly.
Okay.
So a lot of people are saying, hey, the Russians are going to take it over very quickly. It'll be like the fall of the Taliban. No, I don't believe so, because Ukrainians are unified. The vast majority on the western side of Ukraine, they have an identity as Ukrainians, and they, a lot of them have training, military training. Even if they're civilians, they went through school as a youngster, supporting, you know, going through the Soviet type of training. They're going to stand up for their nation. And you're going to see a probably very ugly extended battle that Putin's going to have a tough time managing. But it affects the entire world, and the risk for expansion for NATO if we fail and he moves on one of these other countries. Apparently, he's already threatened Sweden and Finland, or his foreign ministry did just today, about the future of joining NATO.
Right.
So we're seeing an incredible intimidation effort, but I don't know if he's going to be able to maintain this. And if he does, then we're in a world of hurt, because we definitely have no leadership. And, of course, that reflects back on what's happening domestically in the United States and, of course, the biggest concern in the world, which is China.
Yeah. Well, China right now, I think, is very definitely the bull in the China shop. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, and you know, they're making motions, and they've been signaling for a long time that they're going to take action in Taiwan to reintegrate. And they're making it very public. A lot of the media is ignoring it. The administration, the Biden administration, has been ignoring it. The Koreans, the Japanese, they're a little more concerned about it. The Australians are more concerned about it. They're seeing it because it's in their neighborhood. But the failures that you've seen in Afghanistan, the failures you're seeing right now in managing Russia, opens a door for China to have a very sophisticated movement that might create even more chaos in this world that would absolutely devastate chip manufacturing in the world. And, of course, that would have a huge impact on the global economy.
Well, given the fact that Taiwan is so damn important to the free world, specifically to the United States, in terms of their chip production, I would have to say that, you know, Putin's not a stupid guy. His advisors are not like the advisors that we have for our president. They know exactly what's going on right now. They know exactly what the implications are. And personally, I have to tell you, I think that Putin really has the upper hand right now. I don't think there's any question about it. And I think the main reason is, as you said, we don't have a Ronald Reagan. We don't have a Donald Trump. We don't even have a Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And consequently, the U.S. right now, I think, is really viewed in the world, at least by Al Corlin, only at this moment in time. And I hate to say this, Jimmy, but we're a paper tiger right now.
We are exceptionally weak, and we're weak because of indecisiveness, slow processes, and a worldview that is really skewed from reality. That there's the world is a tough place to be in. It's not a woke culture. Not everybody's friendly and thinks of each other, about their racial identity and, you know, what their pronouns are. And that's what this government has been focused on. The U.S. government has been focusing on the wrong things, especially in the defense sector, mandating experimental vaccines, forcing woke policies, they're destroying the credibility of the United States, and inaction, indecision is really, really showing right now, just 13 months into this Biden regime, and we're seeing significant failures over and over and over again. It's hard to find anything they've done right.
Well, you made a comment earlier, I have to say, about the strength of the Ukrainians, the unknown strength of the Ukrainians. And I would have to say that that means that the headline that came out this morning is Russia is facing a lot higher resistance than they thought they would, right?
Yeah. So again, you're not talking about, you know, the Afghan government forces. You're not talking about some, you know, inexperienced third world country that it doesn't have organization. They have a military, they have a National Guard, they have reserves, they have training, and they've had Western training for about 20 years. There's some coordinated efforts that are going on. They've had a lot of advisors in there, and there's a lot of people that are going to stand up for this because, look, they're getting blown up for no reason. They were attacked on false justifications of stopping Nazis or, you know, the threat that the Ukraine was going to, that Ukrainians were going to invade Russia. Those
right.
are absolutely bogus arguments.
Right.
So these people have justification, and there's a lot of people there that are going to stand up. It's going to be tough for the Russians to maintain it and logistically support their long-term efforts. And they're going to get a lot of their own soldiers killed.
Yeah, well, it's a very interesting situation. It's going to be really interesting to see how this turns out. Ladies and gentlemen, time for the top of the hour news. Not a very pretty picture that we're looking at right now. All I can say is listen to the second half of the show.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back to KER Politics. I've got an interesting second half for you. I've got both Jim McKinney and Dr. Frieda on the line with me right now. We're going to talk about the personality of Joe Biden. Frieda did a fair amount of research on this. This is going to be kind of a free-for-all between myself, Frieda, and Jim. Frieda, when you started out, you did some research on Joe Biden. Exactly what did that come up with so people will know where we're coming from?
Well, Joe Biden is 79 years old. He takes days or weeks to make up his mind as he examines and second guesses himself. It takes a lot of behind the scene work to project an assured demeanor. He has claimed that his first wife and daughter were hit by a drunken driver. That's not true. It was Mrs. Biden's fault. Today, we interpret his misstatements as delusionary thinking. He fell walking up the stairs to board Air Force One. He referred to Kamala Harris as President Harris. He forgot the name of the Defense Secretary, Lloyd Austin, and said the guy who runs the outfit over there. He moved slowly and deliberately, while headlines were made of Trump walking slowly down an outdoor backstage. Yet, they said Biden was 100% fine, stumbling up the stairs to board Air Force One. His role with his son Hunter in Ukraine and China is being questioned. And Biden invents things in order to make a personal connection with his audience. He said he visited Pittsburgh's Tree of Life Synagogue in 2018 after the massacre. He was never there. He says his late son, Bu, died in action. He died of brain cancer. His past is catching up with him. His personal tall tales are extending to national policy. He insists all the economics back his plans, writes of inflation as a temporary spike, and insists the border surge is just as seasonal and will say that Afghan, the disaster, is a success. So his lies are being checked now as he is president, and his pre-taped interviews will no longer be enough. So 40% of the voters agree the statement that he's in good health. The other voters don't think so. So the stories he used to tell, most of which were not true, are no longer sharp in his mind. So we're talking about the onset of dementia, and that could be memory loss, difficulty communicating or finding words, difficulty with visual and spatial abilities, difficulty reasoning or problem solving, confusion and disorientation. And that could be age related as well. So we hope Biden is not too slow as the invasion of Ukraine escalates.
Jimmy, I don't think anybody could have put it in any better than that. I know that Frieda and you and I are not fans of President Biden's, but the fact of the matter is Frieda did put on her PhD psychologist hat and do the best that she could in terms of getting information on Joe Biden to provide insights into his personality. Do you have any thoughts, Jimmy, you can bring in on this?
Yeah, I think Frieda, all the points she brings up are so, what you're bringing up, Frieda, is so becoming so apparent. The unfortunate part is many of the mainstream corporate media kind of either gloss over or actually don't even report on those issues. But you go back to even in his 1988 presidential campaign, where he publicly stated that he graduated the top of his class in law school, and then it was proven that he was actually almost at the bottom, if not the bottom. There's numerous occasions throughout his career where he's made these exaggerations or flat out, lies, and of course, plagiarism pushed him out of that race. And he's never been able to get it beyond that. So from a professional standpoint, Frieda, what is going on from the psychology of the people that are supporting these things that are actually very apparent and have been throughout his entire career when the press at one time called him out on it? And now we're seeing some kind of a weird psychosis that protects him. Can you explain that?
Yes, it's very scary. But research has shown that the inventory of diagnostic criteria has found Biden to be a gregarious and accommodating personality style, which may make Biden vulnerable to manipulation by pressure groups and may make negotiations with world leaders difficult. How scary is that? We were looking here at this diagnostic criteria as something that's very dangerous today as we sit here with Russia's invasion of Ukraine. He is one of our weakest presidents, And we need to set a precedent right now of our strength. Isn't America supposed to be the leader of the world? We are not seen as strong, Putin is being seen as strong. Biden is being seen as weak.
You know, I think the main concern that we have right now is a combination of the strength of Putin and the weakness of Biden. Jimmy and I have been talking about this day after day after day on our daily editorials. The man is simply not portraying America the way America used to be. Comments, Jimmy?
Well, I think, you know, he promised to put stability back into the White House. And it looks very clear, I think, to most people that we are definitely not in this stable situation and have not been. And when you go back, you know, I thought it interesting, Frieda, when you talked about the decision-making process and influences, you know, when the Afghanistan situation was collapsing very rapidly, and he would stand up and tell people, hey, it's not going to fall like Saigon, and 3 days later, we're evacuating people from with helicopters from the embassy like Saigon. You know, these things were not all of a sudden new. So it does make me wonder about the decision-making processes. And I agree with you completely. This is a very dangerous precedent that's being set in with influences affecting decisions and dragging out the decisions and not even accepting reality. And with this very serious situation in Ukraine, I think we're in serious trouble. The world is because of it.
Absolutely, he's not accepting reality. He has cut back on energy independence. We have double-digit inflation. We are not in a safe place at all. We need to be able to come back to where we were before, that we can see that we will progress as a nation and we will have success moving forward. We don't have that right now. I don't know if that will happen during his presidency for ourselves. And hopefully he can help us and help Ukraine to safety so we don't have to talk about these issues too much longer.
Frieda, we're going to take a real quick commercial break here. I want to get you back with Jimmy. I'm doing this because I believe that America is in one of the most dangerous positions that it has ever been in, certainly during my lifetime. I was born at the end of World War II, and we are in an incredibly, incredibly dangerous situation right now for two reasons. Number one, you have the two most powerful countries in the world. That whether or not they are admitting it or not, the fact of the matter is Russia and China are, economically, Russia's not ahead of us. But from a strength standpoint, I would have to say that Russia and China together make an incredibly formidable foe for the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a real quick commercial break. We're going to be right back with Jim McKinney and Dr. Frieda. We're going to discuss the implications of just how bad a shape America is in right now, particularly given the Ukraine situation. Stick around. Okay, here to wrap up KER Politics, we're going to talk about the premise that America is in perhaps the scariest situation it has been in that I have ever seen in my lifetime, and that's going back 78 years. Jimmy, what are we going to do about it, bud?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to make, as we've discussed in the previous segment, when your leadership and the decision-making process is somewhat fouled and actually inept. It's going to be very difficult to come out of this problem. I'll just remind people, I see four specific goals from the Russian actions from Putin. The first one is to take the land corridor to connect the Crimea for the Black Sea Fleet for their one deep water year-round port. And that's an important strategic goal for them. The second is to intimidate and violently suppress any ideas of Western ideology and bringing into kind of a Western mode of more of actually more open markets, more open freedoms, which really infects the oligarchies in the entire region. So that's a big important, and doing it through violence. The third issue that I think is really critical is the NATO potential move toward NATO. Putin wants to stop that primarily because if NATO to become NATO membership, they would lose that access potentially in a crisis to the Black Sea Fleet in the Crimea. And then the fourth issue, I think, is a very significant one that I learned from my experience in the Republic of Georgia, that they want to send a message to all of their, you know, regional former Soviet states or satellites that, hey, look, we can use overwhelming force. And oh, by the way, the West is not going to come help. You better not buy into their ideology. You better not move closer. I think that's a real important thing. And I'd actually like to ask Frida, you know, what happens with fear and some of these national ideas and ideologies, and how much does that suppress people from their ability to make rational decisions that would better their future in spite of, you know, the kind of negativity of a socialist authoritarian system?
Well, that's a wonderful question. And fear is based on not knowing what will happen and not being prepared for what will happen. As leaders, we need to look to those people to prevent us from having these kind of fears. We need leaders that are charismatic, leaders who are aggressive, leaders who are confident, and people are looking to that for their support. We don't have that. So when we have fears, who do we go to? What do we do? Then things become chaotic, like they are becoming right now in Ukraine. People are fearing their lives, and rightfully so. They're fleeing the country in masses. And we do have this fear, and our leaders need to step in and prevent anything from escalating and knowing what it is they need to do. We need to have someone just as strong as Putin. We don't have that. We need somebody in office that will say, hey, listen, you're going to have to pay for this royally. You're going to be in a worse place than you were in before. We don't have that. So the fear should be on their side, not on our side. The problem is that it's the other way around.
No, the problem is it's the other way around. But Jimmy, just to interrupt you for a second, we don't have an alternative. The only alternative that we have is the next major election, because there is nobody in power in the government right now. I mean, Frida has very eloquently and very accurately portrayed the personality of the President of the United States. We definitely don't need somebody with that type of personality in the executive office. So what we have to do, basically, the reality of the situation, and Jimmy, I want you to respond to this one. The reality of the situation is we're kind of stuck with our hands. America is kind of stuck right now with its hands tied behind its back until the next major election, which is a few years down the road, 2024. What are we going to do, Jim?
Yeah, I think what's going to happen, you're going to see some changes within, I think, the administration, the current administration, the Biden, I call it the Biden regime. You're going to have to see changes there probably after the midterm elections, because I think the confidence level is so low right now with the economic issues, the border issues, the continuation of COVID lockdowns, and of course, these global crises. Afghanistan was just a disaster, and now we're seeing an even more dangerous disaster unfold. So there will have to be changes in the administrative positions that are giving advice to this president. The problem is, and this is what I fear more than anything else, the woke progressive ideologue, I'm not sure what their objectives are, but it doesn't look like they're in the best interest of the United States, and they are making the decisions. They are giving the advice and giving the options, and it appears that Biden is unable to protect them. So it could be, and this is what I fear more than anything else, this could be a very destabilizing moment, very similar to the 1913-1914 era, when we walked into a ridiculous a war for no reason that caused massive devastation around the globe. And we may see these types of actions actually exacerbate the situation to spread across borders in former East Bloc countries and of course the Baltics, that the Russians are very much adamant to bring them, rein them in as well. So Putin in particular, if we see that type of action and there's no pushback from it, it will be a very devastating both economic and moral slap in the face to all of Western ideology. And I'm afraid of that with the Chinese, potential Chinese expansion in other areas as well.
Right, right. Jimmy, let me just say one thing. I want to get Frieda's opinion on this. Frieda is not necessarily a political expert, but Frieda is very definitely an expert in people's thinking, people's personalities, etc., etc. She has been dealing with her clients for years right now. And even if you don't agree with her, she is theoretically, and near as Jimmy and I can tell, she's accurate pretty much in most of what she says. Certainly she was accurate about what she said during Joe Biden. Frieda is very, very valuable to this show because it shows me what the majority of America is thinking. Not necessarily you guys, CFS, Irish Tony, Eddie, Ebelon, everybody else, but certainly what a lot of mainstream America is thinking right now, that maybe this situation isn't all that bad. Frieda, any quick comments on that?
Yes, we're beginning to see more and more the deficit that is being dealt with Biden. And if he doesn't step up and make up his mind, and yes, he does have people around him that are guiding him and telling him, but the bottom line, the last word is his. And we cannot afford to wait for that bottom line. We need to treat this as an emergency in such a way that aggression and a penalty and a price to be paid by Putin needs to be more than what we're doing right now. And we're waiting to see what that price will be. And hopefully there could still be some negotiation in order.
Yeah.
If it's done right.
Well, the thing that strikes me as being interesting right now is that I really think America is caught between a rock and a hard spot. And logic tells me what's happening right now, certainly in the Ukraine, what's going to happen over the next couple of years, I think the Democrats are shooting themselves in the foot. Jimmy, you think I'm right?
I definitely think they've made some huge mistakes. But again, it comes down to who counts the votes, who does the votes. But I think what we need to be looking at right now, and I think Frieda's right, he's got to make those decisions, but I just don't think he's capable of doing it anymore. It's becoming apparent that he's actually diminishing, and the more pressure will be make it worse. So I'm very afraid of that. So you're going to have to see people in Congress step up as a role, you know, separate but equal branch, to step up and say, this is an alternative. Our government has to stand firm. And I am not seeing that from Republicans or Democrats.
Right.
I'm not seeing anybody coming out and giving some strong statements. It's very confusing. A lot of people are afraid because of what happened in Afghanistan. And I don't blame them. You know, the potential here is very dangerous.
Right.
But what has to stop is either Putin runs out of logistics support and the Ukrainians put up enough of a fight for him to stop, or the NATO and the European allies are going to have to step up and say, you cannot cross this line. You are killing innocent people. And absolutely, we've got to stop it. And there are ways to do it without violence.
And we have to do it. You guys, we're out of time. Dr. Frieda, we're going to get you on the show every week. Jimmy, obviously, you're the co-host. Thanks a lot. We'll be back with you all next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.